From KALW's The Spiritual Edge podcast, this is our series, Sacred Steps. We take you around the world to meet some remarkable people as they lean on their values and faith to challenge the status quo. I'm Judy Silber. And if after you're listening, you want to hear more of these stories, follow our podcast, The Spiritual Edge. Years ago, I spent a few months in the Central American country of Guatemala. Its lush green countryside, ancient Maya ruins, and colorful textiles, everywhere you look, enchanted me. The government there promotes Guatemala's native heritage as an attraction for tourists. Yet that same government has historically marginalized and discriminated against indigenous people. During a decades-long civil war that killed more than 200,000 people, many Maya were killed or disappeared. In this episode of Sacred Steps, Maria Martin brings us a story about human rights leader Rosalina Tuyuk Velasquez. She turned to the wisdom of her Maya ancestors to help heal herself and others from the traumas of war. Here's Maria.
Hello?
Sí, habla María Martín, la periodista de la radio pública.
As the COVID-19 pandemic raged and Guatemala was under lockdown, I spent time on the phone with a remarkable woman. She's a human rights activist, and her story mirrors the long history of struggle of Guatemala's Maya, especially its women.
Bueno, mi nombre completo es Rosalina Tuyuk Velázquez.
From her home in the western highlands of Guatemala, Rosalina Tuyuk Velasquez tells me she belongs to the Cachiquel Maya linguistic community. She was born to a family of peasant weavers and artisans some 60 years ago.
Actualmente soy la coordinadora general de la organización de viudas de Guatemala CONAVIWA.
Tuyuk heads an organization she founded in 1985, known by its Spanish acronym as CONAVIWA, the National Coordinator of Guatemalan Widows.
Que fundamos junto a otras mujeres que fuimos víctimas del genocidio en nuestro país.
The organization CONAVIWA fights for the rights of women who were raped and widowed during the country's long civil conflict. Rosalina Tuyuk tells me that what led her to organize this widows association came out of her own experience.
Porque yo sigo buscando a mi padre que fue detenido, desaparecido forzosamente.
I'm still looking for the remains of my father, she says. He was detained and forcibly disappeared, along with my husband and a number of other relatives.
Quizá todo el tiempo de la guerra hasta ahora siempre estuvo marcado.
Rosalina says what the Guatemalans call the time of the violence, almost four long decades of war lasting from 1960 to 1996, was a time of much pain for her and for countless Maya women, especially the bloody 1980s.
We found terrible devastation, village after village destroyed, with some of the houses still burning.
Entonces, uno no termina el ciclo de la vida. Y en el caso de nosotros, que siempre hemos buscado a mi padre.
Her family's pain, she says, comes from the constant search for her father's remains and the memory of other loved ones lost to violence. Like it or not, she says, this will always be a source of anguish.
Nos cuesta sanar las heridas del pasado.
Even after all this time, she says, the war officially ended more than two decades ago, it's hard to heal the wounds of the past. This isn't just the case for Rosalina Tuyuk, but for thousands of other Maya women who endured similar losses.
First, I mean, there was the very real trauma of what they experienced, either the disappearances or the actual husband being killed right in front of them, and that was true in a number of cases.
Anthropologist Linda Green writes about the challenges these women faced, not only emotional loss, but just trying to survive and support their children.
You know, for several years, there were no corn crops planted because of displacement. So there was enormous food insecurity. Women didn't have the money to buy the fertilizer. They themselves either had to work those fields or they had to hire mozos to do it for them.
Fear and necessity drove many from their homes. Many also suffered in other ways.
Chronic headaches, gastritis, inability to sleep, tense, nervous, as well as the physical manifestations of trauma that we now call post-traumatic stress syndrome here in the United States.
Pero también en medio de eso siempre hay felicidad, hay éxitos.
Today, Rosalina Latuyuk believes that the universe gives us a chance to find balance along with the pain.
Hay fortaleza en medio de todas esas amenazas para la vida.
Even with all these threats to life, she says, there's joy and opportunities to demonstrate strength. But she'd come to this understanding gradually. For more than 25 years, she'd had questions about why the tragedies of the war had happened.
Siempre había una pregunta del por qué, por qué, por qué.
Why was there no father, no husband? Why did the Guatemalan army kill so many people? Rosalina Latuyuk found answers to these questions in the teachings of her ancestors, passed down through the generations. At a young age, indigenous healing traditions were part of her life, even though few people publicly acknowledged or valued them. When she was small, Rosalina's father was a music teacher who did some work with the Catholic Church.
También él curaba a los enfermos.
She remembers people would call on him when they were ill.
Lastimosamente, la colonización que sufrimos los pueblos indígenas nos...
Sadly, she says, the colonization of the indigenous made us believe that our knowledge and our practices weren't worthwhile. It's something that was ingrained in us since we were little.
Desde pequeño uno va entendiendo que eso no es bueno, ¿verdad?
Because her family was Catholic, as a child, she didn't always realize that these Maya practices were all around her.
Mi abuela materna era comadrona.
It's something that one carries in one's blood, from knowledge passed down by the grandfathers and grandmothers. My maternal grandmother was a midwife. My paternal grandfather was a great farmer, and he would give thanks to the earth.
Saludar al sol, la salida del sol, la bajada del sol.
And salute the sun when it rose and at the sunset.
Agradecer la lluvia, agradecer el aire.
He would give thanks to the rain and to the air.
Pedir permiso por ir a trabajar el campo.
He would ask the earth for permission to work the land. So these are traditions not taught inside churches, but in the collective customs of a people.
Y esos son prácticas que no se encuentra dentro de las iglesias, sino más dentro de la práctica común de la gente.
But because of her very religious upbringing, Rosalina says that as an adult, it was difficult at first to accept Maya cosmovision.
Como yo vengo de una familia muy religiosa, me costó mucho pues aceptar la cosmovisión maya. Cabalmente en el año 80 cuando desapareció mi esposo.
Rosalina says that in 1980, after her husband disappeared, she sought out an elder and he told her, "Your husband won't be found, nor will you hear about your father."
Y tenés que empezar a vivir por tus hijos, a vivir por tu familia.
And he said, "Now you have to start thinking about yourself, about your children. Now you have to live for you and for them."
Entonces, tenés que empezar a ver tu misión de vida.
He told her, now you have to live your life's mission. It was then, she says, that she began to understand that what the Maya called cosmovision is not a religion.
No es una religión.
Many call it spirituality. It's very complex and holistic, she says, encompassing everything, the cosmos and nature. Rosalina says when the elder asked, do you know what your mission is? The only thing she could respond was
tengo deseos de curar.
That she was a woman with a desire to heal and to help people.
De curar a la gente, de ayudar a la gente.
Even after she sought the elder's advice, Rosalina discovered she had more to learn from the traditional teachings of her Cachiquel Maya culture.
Yo entendí que sí, es bueno pensar que no estamos derrotados.
That's when I began to understand that it's good not to feel defeated, that we should keep moving forward, loving life and our existence.
Que si no fuera por esos sabios consejos, quizá estaría igual como muchas mujeres que murieron.
So, if it weren't for these wise teachings, she says, I might be like so many women who suffered and basically stopped living because of their pain, who died with no hope for a better life. Traditional religion had taught them to accept suffering in return for a happy afterlife.
A veces nos condenan a...
I think that sometimes conventional religion condemns us to suffer, to not live life fully and in balance.
Yo agradezco profundamente a muchos ancianos, a muchas ancianas.
I'm profoundly grateful, she says, to the many elders, men and women who told us it isn't good to keep on suffering because we were meant to be happy. We were meant to take care of Mother Earth, to protect all life, be it human or animal, the life of everything that lives on this planet. Embracing her culture, she says, allowed her to make sense of all that had happened and to heal.
En medio de todo esas amenazas para la vida.
Now she can say that, even with all these threats to life, she's profoundly grateful to the universe to be alive, to have grandchildren, to fight alongside other women. All this, she says, has given her strength to continue with her life's mission.
Luchar junto con las mujeres, eso me ha dado mucha vida.
You're listening to Sacred Steps, a series from KALW's The Spiritual Edge podcast. You can tune into more great stories like the one you're hearing right now by following The Spiritual Edge in your podcast feed, or go to thespiritualedge.org. Now back to the story about human rights leader Rosalina Tuyuk Velasquez.
Maya Cosmovision also gave Rosalina a way of looking at the material world. It gave direction to her human rights work. In 1985, when I began my work with the women, she says, and there was also the commemoration of the 500 years of colonialism, that's when I began to understand how Maya Cosmovision connected with my social and political work.
La cosmovisión también es organización, también es político, también es económico.
I began to understand that the cosmovision is also about organizing, about politics, about economics. So I started to defend the rights of indigenous people, their way of being, of acting, of thinking.
Tu forma de ser, tu forma de actuar, tu forma de pensar.
Her work with the widows in the late 80s and early 90s coincided with the reawakening of Maya identity. Not only for Rosalina, but for other indigenous leaders, like the Nobel Peace Prize laureate, Rigoberta Menchú.
A la hermana Rigoberta Menchú me hizo conocer mucho más esa profundidad histórica de los pueblos indígenas.
Sister Rigoberta Menchú, says Rosalina, helped me understand the profound complexity of indigenous communities. By the time peace accords finally ended Guatemala's conflict in 1996, the widows' association Rosalina Tuyuk founded, CONABIGUA, had become one of the leading human rights organizations in Guatemala. And 4 years after the war ended, Rosalina Tuyuk became the first Maya Cachiquel to serve in the Guatemalan Congress.
Fue muy importante esa época porque, bueno, de 80 diputados, habíamos 6 indígenas.
That time was key, Rosalina recalls. Out of 80 Congress members, 6 of us were indigenous. And some important legislation was passed. For example, outlawing amnesty for crimes of genocide. Still, it was an uphill struggle being in the minority and maintaining her identity as an indigenous woman. Wearing her traditional traje, a woven skirt and top, Rosalina Tuyuk would bring her baby to the Congress, nursing her when needed. And some people criticized her for that.
Pero yo dije, si el voto popular me llevó al Congreso, me tiene que aceptar por ser madre, por ser campesina, por ser indígena.
But, she says, I would say if the popular vote brought me to Congress, then I have to be accepted as a mother, as a peasant, as indigenous.
Las mujeres mayas siempre cargamos a nuestro bebé.
We Maya women always carry our small children with us when we're shopping or weaving or working, because that's when the learning starts.
Desde ese escenario comienza el aprendizaje.
Following the war, the government of Guatemala established a reparations program for war widows, and Rosalina became its director.
I went to one of these ceremonies where they were giving money to these women.
Eliza Strode is an American who spent many years in Guatemala. She and others recall that during her time as director of the compensation program, Rosalina worked to dignify not only the memory of the dead by leading the effort to exhume mass graves and identify the remains, but also of the living, fighting to give war widows financial and emotional support.
And she would just open her arms and envelop them in a hug. I mean, it was like so moving. She was just like so totally present.
The government funded the reparations program for only a few years. With no consistent institutional support, Rosalina Tuyuk continues working with the widows, many of them elderly and dying, in whatever way she can.
The widows of war crimes, she is really helping them and helping their children, and I am absolutely impressed with this woman.
Dr. Bill Clements is an alternative medicine practitioner working with the poor in Guatemala. He's known Rosalina for some 15 years. Together, they've conducted medical missions in neglected communities.
She's very loving and caring. I remember when an 88-year-old woman came in through the rain, no shoes, no children, cutest little grandma. But Rosalina dried her off with a towel and combed her hair back and hugged on her to warm her up.
Es el icono de la resistencia ante la brutalidad del ejército en los tiempos de guerra.
Jordán Rodas is Guatemala's human rights ombudsman. He believes Rosalina has become an icon of brave resistance to military brutality. She went to Congress and came out with her head held high, he says. She's truly a role model to emulate.
Es un ejemplo de una lideresa política en el país digna de imitar.
Although international human rights groups have recognized Rosalina Tuyuk for her work, she tells me she doesn't do it for the awards.
Mucha gente creía que los mayas pasaron hace 500 años.
When I was growing up, she says, we were taught that the Maya had disappeared.
Que ya no existían.
And the only thing that remained of them were tourist attractions. We grew up being taught we were just worthless Indians.
Y que ahora solo somos indígenas. Ah, no, ni siquiera nos decían indígenas. Somos los indios.
Despite some social progress, Guatemala's Maya still strive to achieve parity and respect in their own country, where opponents feel increasingly free to attack indigenous human rights defenders and practitioners of Maya spirituality. In June of 2020, witnesses watched in horror as members of an evangelical sect dragged the internationally recognized Maya healer and plant medicine expert Domingo Chokche into a field, doused him with gasoline, and set him on fire. His attackers accused Chok of witchcraft. His death called attention to continuing discrimination in Guatemala against those who practice traditional Maya religion. So Rosalina Tuyuk says she now has a renewed commitment to vindicate her culture and its spiritual traditions, and to honor those who've perished to keep it alive.
Entonces vinieron todas las luchas de reivindicación.
It's a revindication, she says, not only of art and culture, but of rights and history.
No es ningún regalo.
And it's not a gift, she says. It has a cost. And so we have to continue to struggle to maintain our culture.
Que regaron su sangre en esta sagrada tierra.
Especially in memory of those who've shed their blood on this sacred land. For The Spiritual Edge, I'm Maria Martin in Antigua, Guatemala.
Listening to a story from the Sacred Steps series. We're a production of KALW's The Spiritual Edge in collaboration with USC's Center for Religion and Civic Culture. If you haven't already, follow The Spiritual Edge podcast wherever you listen. We've got more great stories on the way, and you won't want to miss them. Support for Sacred Steps comes from the John Templeton Foundation and the Templeton Religion Trust. Cheryl Duvall is the Sacred Steps editor. Tarek Fuda is the engineer. Lindsay Myers-Humley is the digital content manager. Tom Levy is the photographer for The Spiritual Edge. We're grateful to all the people who helped get this Spiritual Edge podcast out into the world, including Megan Suis, Heba Farag, Ben Trefney, Shireen Adel, Sadia Termizi, Jeffrey Burke-Witten, and Megan Jones. We appreciate any help you can give to share these stories with the world. Give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, like or share our posts and social media, and tell a friend, maybe about one of your favorite profiles. I'm Judy Silber. Thanks for listening.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.